News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
Now it's the Executive Chair time, and today we're joined by Donal O'Shea of Dicey Fex. Donal is a serial entrepreneur, having founded three companies to date and founded Dicey Fex in 2017. And we let Donal tell you all about what that company is and does. Donal, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mandy.
Now, Donal, first of all, maybe start off with your early days, where you grew up, and did you always want to get into this type of field, do science and all of that good stuff?
Sure. So I grew up in County Kerry on a farm, and I think I was always very, very interested in science and technology. And I think as I kind of got into my educational years, I suppose I was focused really on thinking about, well, what do I want to do? And I decided I really wanted to do science. So I went to DCU and did a course in biotechnology there. Really liked that. Went on and did a PhD, which was very interesting, and kind of ended up then doing kind of cancer research in UCD, actually, with the late Professor Peter Durbin.
Oh, right.
And I suppose after that, ended up back in DCU teaching on the biotechnology program again. And I was looking at a lifetime or a career in academia that was going to be my future, effectively. And things kind of took a turn from there, and I kind of ended up going into the whole realm of business.
And what was it that made you switch from academia, as you say? Like, I mean, that can be a very fulfilling profession for someone like you who's interested in science and teaching someone else. Was there a point where you were kind of, okay, what was the point where you're like, okay, no, this is not it. I need to do something else. Was there a discovery you made along the way, or what happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously part of academia is teaching and the other part is research. And I really enjoyed the research aspect of things. But in some ways, I felt there were certain projects, and I'm quite applied. I like the idea of technology being used by people, being used by, like, the innovations that I come up with, that they're actually affecting people day to day. And to some extent, I felt that maybe within academia, I was a little bit constrained in terms of how quickly I could move and how quickly I could progress some of those concepts. So we spun out a business out of DCU in 2003 and developed that, a company called SlidePath. And we ended up selling that in 2009 to
the UK. And
what's
the SlidePath to?
We're in a similar area, but very, very much at the nascent stage of that development of that industry, which was really almost thinking about, can we digitize pathology? Can we take something that pathologists look down a microscope at pieces of tissue every day, and can we turn that into a digital process?
Maybe just explain that to me and to our listeners a bit more about pathology. Like, what is that? Like, what does
It does seem like quite an abstract concept, you know, but I suppose the way I look at it is, you know, every listener probably on this show today at some point will have a procedure, maybe a mole removed, an endoscopy, a colonoscopy, or maybe some maybe more serious procedure. And ultimately, something will be sent to the lab, and a piece of tissue or piece of material. And that piece of tissue and piece of material contains a lot of the insights and perspectives that clinicians need to make a treatment plan for you. And the pathologist is the person who takes that piece of tissue, will examine it, and will then ultimately recommend treatment options for patients. So effectively, it impacts on everybody's daily lives. Mm-hmm. I suppose the big sort of challenges we're seeing globally right now is we are actually seeing an aging global population, which means, you know, things like cancer and other diseases are diseases of the old. So effectively, more and more samples are being generated. And I suppose on the flip side, we have this kind of strange problem where fewer and fewer clinicians are actually taking to pathology as a subspecialty. And I suppose the combination of both is leading to a massive supply-demand dynamic worldwide. For example, in places like sub-Saharan Africa, you could have found as many or as few as one pathologist per million people. So
wow.
You can imagine that's the type of global challenges. In Ireland, we're pretty well stocked with pathologists, but as we go to the UK, we see huge problems.
And
there,
why is that? Why are fewer people?
I think perhaps there's a combination of factors. I actually always think pathologists are some of the smartest and most intelligent clinicians I know. And the learning process and the amount of data and information they have to consume to be a pathologist is huge, and the learning curves are quite long. I think people are looking at AI and going, there's you know, particularly in visual disciplines like radiology and pathology, they go, well, maybe an AI can look at this image. And to some extent, it can. Mm. But ultimately, if you can imagine, if you were a trainee, perhaps you would look at more patient-facing subspecialties maybe as a basis for kind of longevity, so to speak. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think in some ways, maybe AI is a little bit of a catch-22 here in terms of saying, well, if AI might take my job, maybe I should do another job, you know, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's happening in a lot of professions.
Yes, correct. Actually, absolutely.
Somebody who was trying to get their children to go into engineering because, you know, it crosses so many sectors.
Correct.
They had no interest because they felt this could be taken over by someone else. But of course, you still need that human interaction now.
Of course.
So you're in DCU, you're in academia, you have a startup, you spun out. So was that out of DCU Alpha or one of those projects?
Yeah, correct. It was actually out of the DCU Inventing Incubator at the time. And we ended up selling that to a UK PLC. And I joined the management team of that company and left academia. So it was literally straight into business.
And
so
that's what I'm interested in, is that kind of juxtaposition of like somebody who's really good at academia, understanding this, seeing the connection between, you know, what you're teaching, the advancement of technology, but there's still that third pillar of how to manage a business.
Correct.
Did you go and learn how to manage a business or do it?
Well, I think, you know, the next step of that evolution was quite interesting. We ended up getting the business that bought us got bought by a big US multinational. And I joined leadership teams there and I was working with lots of US educated MBA guys. And it was really the MBA of life, so to speak, over a period of 4 to 5 years where we were looking around, buying companies, doing all sorts of interesting developments. And, you know, during that period, it was very seminal for me in terms of, I suppose, my first kind of foray in business was kind of, there's a lot of learning going on. I think your first rodeo is always the most interesting one. And then I think I came back and I said, you know what, I need to do this again, but kind of do it at scale and do it right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, no, that's totally.
So I suppose that's how I got back to Decipix then in 2017.
Yeah, and look, looking at the numbers that you have now, you've like 200 staff globally now.
Correct.
So that's an incredible achievement. So maybe take us down the road of the company as it is now, what it's doing,
sure,
where you're at with that company, yeah, and what's happening around it.
Well, I kind of outlined the problem a little bit earlier on, which is this growing global supply demand issue in pathology. And you know, for example, in the UK even, which is, you'd expect, you know, very developed economy, you know, we're seeing as much as 1 in 5 cases in the NHS cannot be handled by the pathologists in the NHS. That's how significant the problem is.
And why?
Just simply out of capacity.
Capacity.
Simply out of capacity. And effectively, the result of that then is what we've developed really is a technology platform backed with AI that basically allows, is basically the Uber of pathology. There's lots of things that have been Uberized, but I suppose pathology is a kind of weird one to Uberize.
And so what would happen? Do like actual hospitals sign up for it? Or like,
correct,
is it
correct.
On a platform?
So for example, hospitals can digitally send cases out to us and we will connect them with a high quality subspecialist pathologist who's licensed to do work in their sector. Our platform allows our pathologists to report about 40% faster. And then we're backing that platform with AI to double check actually the diagnosis of the pathologist, because we're expecting people to go faster, do more work, but we have to do that in a manner that actually allows us to do it more safely as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, as you say, like a lot of diagnostics happening earlier for people, but in an ageing population, it's a growing challenge, isn't
100%.
It? Yeah.
Well, 100%.
Don't listen. It's an absolutely fascinating story. We wish you all of the best with your future endeavours. It was a pleasure to meet you. That was Donal O'Shea, CEO of Decipix.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11. On News Talk.